Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 2. Verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, or drift away from them. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, as the Lord Jesus, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing the witness both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, many miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Now the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word, which has gone before and which we have now read in your ears. For a few minutes tonight, I want to bring to your attention at the close of this gospel meeting one of those startling texts that find their way into almost every part of the Bible. These are texts that God has used in the awakening of the querulous and in the salvation of those who may have anxious souls. This verse tonight is one that has been erected on the roadside outside of gospel meeting places and religious buildings that were fundamentally sound for the gospel, and it has been erected along the highways as we have journeyed. I've noticed men and farms have erected them upon their lands at times. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It has always been an awakening thing to me all my life, this verse, and I have thought that God would use it tonight in this gospel tent once more. I trust the Holy Spirit will place it beyond the reach of the enemy. That is Satan, who watches with a jealous eye every time the gospel is preached. Then cometh the devil and snatcheth away the good seed of the word, lest any should believe and be saved. And we know the enemy is always active when salvation is being preached. I hope it will be buried in your heart that long after this meeting is over and you've left the tent, that it might rise before you in your room or by the road or wherever you may be this week. How shall I escape if I neglect the salvation that God has been presenting night by night under the sound of the gospel? Now in this wonderful question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We have salvation that we've been hearing about presented once again. And it's presented here in a wonderful way. It's called by God, so great salvation. Now men exaggerate things and speak of great things that when we examine them, sometimes are not so great. After all, but God never uses any adjectives wrongly, and when he speaks of this salvation that we're preaching as being a great salvation, we can rest assured it truly is. In fact, it's the greatest work that God ever accomplished on behalf of ruined man. Now, I could give a few reasons why this salvation is so great. Our brother has already reminded us of some of them. But you could think of it as being great because of its source, the origin from whence it came. This message that we are preaching has not found its origin in the brethren or its origin in any conclave of man or in any congregation or denomination on earth. It didn't even find its origin among angels. Even Michael the Archangel could never have given origin to the message that we bring here tonight. This message is the gospel of God. When Paul wrote the Roman epistle, he described it like that, the gospel of God. And that tells me that this salvation that we preach had its origin in the heart of God long before the world began. From the dateless, timeless eternity, God planned the salvation for the sons of man. You've been listening to it, and yet you've neglected it, and you've counted it as nothing until this moment. The word that has been spoken has been allowed to drift through your fingers and through your ears as an idle tale. And the Bible says, how shall we escape so great salvation, that God is the source of it? But again, this salvation is a great salvation because of the scope of it. In John 3:16, that wonderful verse we have read so often and quoted here, we read these words, for God so loved the world. There's no other salvation like that. It's a salvation that's worldwide in its reach. Reaches out to every nation, nationality, clime, and color. God has made a provision for the need of all mankind. No sinner need ever go to hell in this tent or anywhere else in this world. For on Calvary's tree, he became the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the whole world. And when the Savior died, such was the nature of a sacrifice that God can offer salvation to every creature under heaven. Listen to these lovely words. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's not a man tonight left out of the plan of salvation. He can be saved. So great salvation as to its source and as to its scope, reaching the world. And yet, men are neglecting it. Imagine sinners hearing of a salvation like that and passing it by as a thing of no value. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Have you ever thought about it? God planning for the need of man, and offering it unto all. But it's a great salvation because of the sacrificial death of Christ that purchased it, because of the subject of it. What is the subject of this gospel that we preach? Our brother has emphasized it already. It is the substitutionary, sin-atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ. That one of the Godhead three laid aside the splendors of the sky, came into manhood, was virgin born, lived on earth a spotless life without a flaw and without a blemish, and then went to Calvary to die for man, the guilty woman stead of sinners. Oh, what a wonderful message that is, so simply stated. So clearly stated in the Word of God, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, what is the gospel? Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and was buried, and was raised again the third day according to the Scripture. What is the gospel? Listen to it again. Christ died for the ungodly upon the cross of Calvary. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God, who did no sin, and any who would dare to say of him that he might have sinned, they know nothing of the gospel. The Lord Jesus was without a blemish and without a spot, holy, harmless, and undefiled, the only sinless man that ever lived here. And yet, 1 Peter 2:24 tells us, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, nailed on Calvary between those dying robbers. The Lord Jesus became the sin-bearing substitute, became answerable to God in our guilty place. Listen to these lovely words. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with a stripe we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He died an atoning death for thee. He died an atoning death. If you trust him tonight, heaven will be your home. If you reject him, you'll burn in hell throughout the ages that are to come. Every one of us here, we're on the move to eternity. It's either heaven or hell when the last day comes. And only those who have Christ as their Savior will ever walk that golden street or see the many mansions. Listen to that old hymn we sang the other night. You must be born again or never enter heaven. This only blood-washed ones are there, the ransomed and forgiven. Tell me tonight, have you been washed in that precious blood? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Have you received the salvation that he purchased at Calvary with blood of worth untold? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, purchased by blood, provided by God, offered to man, clearly stated in the gospel? There are many difficulties in the Bible, many scriptures that are hard to understand, but God has written in the largest letters, in the types and in the shadows, in the Psalms and in the prophecies, in the Gospels and in the Acts, in the epistles and in the last book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, God's easy way of salvation for the sons of man. Oh, I love the words that we heard the other night, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Listen to it. By grace are you saved. Grace, sovereign grace, for sin abounding. By grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Imagine this wonderful gift of God coming down into this tent tonight, God offering eternal life, the forgiveness of sin, a home in heaven, to clear you of all your guilt, to wash away your every stain. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here you are tonight. In this tent, you cannot work to save your soul. You cannot have any ordinance to wash away your guilt. No font on earth can cleanse your sin. But there is a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness at Calvary that can wash the vilest stain away. No ordinance can save you tonight. We're not here to get you to join our company or any company. We're not here to get you to give anything. One of the things of the gospel, and we tremble as we speak of it, is man as hirelings tonight, seeking to make money out of the gospel. We're not interested in money tonight. We're not interested in members for a denomination. But we're interested that when your journey's done, heaven will be your home. When the journey's over, where will you spend eternity, man? It's heaven or hell. You must be born again, or never see that land of nameless day, the city four square. We'll never all meet in this tent as we've been doing these nights. Soon the canvas will be wrapped up, and the voice of the preachers will be heard no more. Brother Crawford has been preaching now since he was a boy. And this is my 67th tent when it wraps up and it's laid to rest. Maybe the last time we'll ever spend a summer seeking to bring the gospel. When we were young, we spent month after month at it. We can't do it now. But we're here to tell you, even if it's the last time we ever meet, we want to meet you in the glory, in that land that is fairer than day, where sorrow will never come, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle by night, nor of the sun by day, for the Lamb is the light of it. But inside it you'll never be without Christ. You cannot go. You can go without religion. You can go without money, education. You can go without influence, without anything of this world. But there's one thing needful, and that is you have the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. And His death will make the atonement for your sin. You know anything about it tonight? What's your foundation for eternity? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, purchased at infinite cost and offered so freely? State it so clearly. Says one in the meeting, how can I be saved tonight? Acts 16:31. What must I do to be saved? Is that your cry tonight? Is there anyone here will say from his heart, what must I do to be saved? Listen to the answer of Paul and Silas long ago. The apostolic, evangelical, clear and only answer to the question. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. What does it mean to believe? It means to trust without a feeling. It means to rest satisfied. It means to depend for eternity upon the Savior. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. What must I do to be saved? Romans 10, verse 9, listen to it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For it is with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Will you believe in your heart tonight that you're a lost sinner? Will you bow your head tonight in this tent ere we leave and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a lost sinner, and I've neglected the one thing needful all my life. I have never neglected the need of my body. Men will travel miles to see the physician that might be able to heal their body. You've never neglected that evidence that you have a terminal disease, perhaps, and you begin to worry about your condition. Men won't neglect their body. But oh, to think of the soul and the eternal destiny, how sinners neglect where they will be when time shall be no more. 5 minutes to midnight and you're still in your sins tonight. Time is gliding swiftly by. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second advent. We believe with all our heart in the literal coming again of our blessed Lord Jesus. He who came to die is coming back eventually to reign in this earth of ours. But before His blessed feet stand on the Mount of Olives as the King of Israel, He's coming into the air in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Maybe tonight the dead in Christ will rise to meet Him there, and we who are saved When I was a boy, it used to make me tremble, lest I would be left behind. Oh, how many in this tent would be left behind? The night of the Lord should come right now. Maybe a wife taken and a husband left. Husband taken, wife left. Father and mother taken, children left. Grandfather left, and his granddaughter taken, for aught I know. We used to sing that little chorus, two shall be together, grinding at the mill. Two shall be together, sleeping calm and still. One shall be taken, the other left behind. You be ready. When Jesus come, the Savior said, in that day two shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Jesus said, on that night two shall be in the one bed, one shall be taken and the other left. Jesus said, two women shall be grinding up the mill, their hands touching, one shall be taken and the other left. Maybe the hand that holds yours will lose its grasp and be gone, and you'll be left. What for? The judgments of God that are coming. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Salvation is great, provided and offered. It's great also because it's the only salvation. In the days of Noah, the flood was coming. The waters would cover Mount Everest, 29,000 feet and 22 feet above it. Every hill would be covered and man would perish in the great waters. When God opened the fountains of the deep and poured the flood upon a world of ungodly men. 2,000 years from creation, that awful flood came. But there was one way of salvation for Noah and his family. It was an ark of gopher wood, pitched within and without with pitch. And yonder it rose above the water, and the floods beat against that ark. It was the only place of safety, that lonely ark of the storm going through the awful billows of wrath is a picture of God's only way of salvation tonight. He has only one way to save you. It's through the man that bore the storms on Calvary's cross. In the land of Egypt, God would pass through to smite the firstborn. In the land of Egypt, all the firstborn, from the firstborn of Pharaoh to the firstborn of the slave or the prisoner in the dungeon, all the firstborn of cattle. But there was a way of salvation. The blood of a lamb caught in a basin and struck upon the two side posts, the lintel of the door. And God said, when I see the blood, tell me tonight, have you blood upon your door? For the world may say, there is hope some other way. I'm depending on the blood, precious blood, that flowed from his riven side upon the tree. Oh, thank God for the blood of the Redeemer. We're living in an age of a bloodless gospel. We're living in an age when men are ashamed of the blood. We're living in an age when preachers, many of them no longer preach blood atonement. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There is no other way but this. If I e'er get sight, I ne'er get sight of the gates of life. The way of the cross I miss. The way to heaven is a blood-sprinkled way. Think of the blood that was shed at Jewish altar. Rivers of blood. Every day I look and hear the cries of dying animals, as many as the day. Blood flowing. God said, when I see the blood. I love the words of Isaac Watts's hymns, but here's one he wrote. Not all the blood of bulls and goats on Jewish altar slave can give a guilty conscience peace or wash away one's day. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, bear all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler made, richer blood than they. You like to go to heaven tonight? In every man's heart there's a desire to go to heaven. In the tombs of the Egyptians we see the desire that they would go to a better place. I was speaking to Indians a short time ago on the state of the great home above and the great spirit. They know nothing of heaven, but they long to go to a better place. Every man desires to go to the better place when he died. Even Balaam said, let my last end, let me die the death of the righteous. And then he looked to heaven, he yawned and he said, and let my last end. On the other side, he liked it, that heaven would be my home. Then tonight, have you a desire to go to heaven? Have you a desire to walk with the saints in light when the journey's done? When the last tear is shed and the last milestone's crossed and death can come suddenly? Have you a desire to be in heaven at last? Man, I want to ask tonight, this is our business, really and truly, down to the nitty-gritty tonight. The purpose of this tent, why we're here, is this, that even one soul of only one should finish up in heaven above, for all is love, and there'll be no sorrow there. That's our business. You might get to heaven. You're this one. You say to me tonight, how can I get? There's only one way, one heart, one blood, the blood of Christ. Rahab the harlot, in the city of Jericho, about to be destroyed, she desired the true token. You desire the true token, the only way of salvation, the true gospel. The spy said, find the scarlet thread in the window. And the house where the scarlet thread stood when the judgment came, that scarlet thread is the Bible testimony of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us who are saved, we have the scarlet thread in our story. I'm so thankful tonight that I'm not depending on all the preaching I've ever done to take me to heaven. I'm not depending on all the hymns I've ever sung to take me to heaven. I'm not depending on the fact that I've preached now for many, many years and been in happy fellowship with those who gather to his name that wouldn't take me. I'm going to heaven not because my mother was saved and my father was saved, and because I was taught the Bible since I could lisp it and learned it at my mother's knee. I never remember a day I didn't know the way of salvation wasn't enough. I'm going because a boy of 19, I knelt at Calvary at the old rugged cross, and I saw that nailed upon it the Savior of the world died for sinners. But not only died for sinners, but our brother has preached, the Son of God loved me, gave himself for me. He died for Harold Kingsley in that cross. And I believe that night as I knelt in deep contrition at the feet, and I said, Lord Jesus, I do believe that thou hast died for me, the sinner on Calvary, and I receive it as best I know how. Die for me. How shall we escape if we neglect the only way of escape? A building's on fire. The alarm is sounded. There's one avenue of escape. What folly for anyone to neglect the avenue of escape. How will you go to hell? You don't have to do anything to go to hell. Only neglect your soul's salvation. Rise out of this tent and go out as you've always done. Go to your bed tonight. Think no more about it. Put it out of your mind. Tell yourself, I depend on this or depend on that. I rest on the church of my fathers. I depend on my water baptism. I depend on the creed and on the prayers and on the beats and confession, whatever it may be. I depend on something else. You'll never be saved. You'll miss it. you'll waken up in hell and look back to this tent and say, I need never have come here. I was told the truth as plain as any man could ever tell it out. And I repent. How shall we see the neglect so great salvation? Lord, help you to turn this very night, whatever it may cost. If I were unsaved tonight, no one would ever get me out of this tent. If I were unsaved tonight, I wouldn't go home to my own death to lie down without a Savior. God grant that you might have seen this God, and that before you sleep tonight, you might trust the loving Savior who all our sorrows hold. He loves you, tonight. He's waiting at the door. I quote one verse before we go. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Savior's at the door of your life tonight. He's knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, have you heard his voice from this tent? Oh, I hope someone has heard his voice. If any man hear my voice and open the door, the bolts are all on the inside. You've kept them out for years. Will you draw the bolt tonight? Will you bid him enter while it's raised? If any man hear my voice and open the door, I welcome him to him. The supper then, even me, kept him. Our God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank thee for thy grace, in giving us both a little help to unburden our hearts. We have sought to preach the gospel faithfully and clearly. We would like to have done it better, but we tried to win the hearts of men. O God, grant that we may not have spent our strength for naught and labored in vain tonight. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the only one that can bury the seed beyond the reach of the devil. We trust that some person in this tent may be really stirred tonight to the very limit of his being, that some proud young man or proud young woman might cast this deadly doing down, cast away the works of life, whatever it may be, a profession, whatever it is, that someone may tonight cast everything out of his life and say, I'm just a lost sinner. But Jesus died for me, and I come, believing his word, resting on the promise I do. God grant that it may be saved. In the name of the Lord Jesus.